Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Julieta Talevi, and tackling your questions this evening are David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Wayne McCurry from FNB Wealth and Investments. If you'd like to send questions to us, please SMS 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. David, Wayne, good evening to you both. David, if I may start with you tonight, quite a lot of results coming out today. Some of them were well received, others weren't. But I think maybe the fact that the drag does down were the 10 cent numbers that they knocked NASPERS and Prosus after having had enjoyed a little fillip yesterday. They fell in a heap today. What did you make of that? And actually some viewers sent us some messages this morning saying, what do we do now?
With Tencent and look, this is the first time we've seen it come backwards. And I think the numbers were disappointing. And one wonders whether they have the courage to keep growing it. There's about 10 pages of commentary if you really want to go through the Tencent numbers. But, I mean, overall, one has to be slightly concerned about, what lies ahead. From my point of view, yes, you can buy them at these low levels. But, I think there's better value elsewhere, particularly against still uncertainty about what the Chinese authorities are going to do and whether they will allow them to, to expand. So I don't know what Wayne says, whether he went through them, but it's a little bit of a concern that they were as poor as they were.
Wayne, what do you think? And also, what do you think of the fact that Tencent actually closed down only 0.75%? So it actually recovered, I wonder what that suggests for us tomorrow.
Well, look, tomorrow will be dominated as to what the US markets do. Because in our last look, they were 2.3% down. So tomorrow, 10 cents.
Don't look again. Don't look again.
What the US does. But I mean, I might as well preempt it. This is my stock pick. I think NASPERS and Prosus are seriously cheap at these levels. I mean, NASPERS is down, how much? 60-70%. It's just enormous value that's been destroyed there, but there is a lot of inherent value in the shares at these prices. And then last night, even though it's almost disappeared in the news flow, the Chinese vice premier effectively said that we're going to stop our onslaught on the tech companies. And it went unnoticed by the market, and of course now overshadowed, unfortunately, on the downside by the Tencent results. But I mean, when you hit adversity like Tencent and all the other tech companies have with the government crackdown and closing down major parts of their businesses and outlawing, you throw the kitchen sink at everything. You know, you never waste a period of bad news. So you'll probably grow up off this base. But, at these prices, NASPERS and Tencent are almost normal companies. They're not these big hype companies. Yeah. And in fact, I mean, most of the tech companies are getting there quickly.
You'd far rather buy NASPERS at 1,600 than at 3,200. But one viewer says, I'm still a bit angry that NASPERS did not unbundle or sell a large portion of their Tencent holding before its price crashed. They didn't need to have such a large holding in Tencent to fund future acquisitions. Sounds like a typical example of what happens when you're overexposed to one investment. Rookie mistake. Was it a rookie mistake or were they just greedy? Or was it the CGT bill potentially that they would have had to face, and no one can really wrap their heads around that if they had sold
and
it?
I mean, I must admit it also enters into my thought processes, but CGT should never affect an investment decision made by anyone, because you've already incurred it. You just haven't paid it. It's not as though you're losing money. It's a liability. You just haven't paid it across yet, But anyway, look, I disagree with the previous comment that Tencent that NASPERS didn't need the Tencent money. They needed that money to fund their acquisitions. They definitively needed it. But you never know what pressure is going to be put onto NASPERS and Prosus now at these low share prices to actually unlock value.
Yeah. And maybe just one last question on this. So Wayne, though it is your stock pick, maybe David, I don't know what you would think, and you've already sort of sketched out your position that you would rather maybe buy a Meta, say, than a Tencent. But the viewer says, with Tencent results now known, is it still worthwhile holding onto NASPAS process, which constitutes 15% of my portfolio, sell the complete holding, or reduce my holding to 7.5% of my portfolio and invest the balance into the banking sector? So a completely different sector. Would you do that? Or would you invest it into the tech sector? David, if it were you, what might you do?
I think the tech sector, just taking what Wayne is saying about Tencent and Alibaba and others, I think you're getting very similar sentiments in the tech sector globally. I think people are far too pessimistic about the outlook. I'm not going to stop the train. I'm not going to stand here and try and stop this rolling trade. But I think the kind of level that we're seeing now, I think some of these companies are coming back into very attractive territory. You know, the multiples now are at the same levels pre-COVID or even lower than that. And yes, results might be hurt because everybody's talking recession and, you know, we're hearing stagflation. You can't find one positive statement. And nor have we got the famous Fed put. You know, in previous crashes, you always knew the market cracked. They were so scared of growth failing that they'd start to do something on monetary policy. We haven't got that. They quite intend to go ahead. So, so you know, that's also driving the market down as well. But I think you're going to get to a level where some of these, you know, these prices are just too enticing to ignore.
Yeah. Okay. So you wouldn't look at the banking sector, but okay. Yeah, and Wayne, you presumably wouldn't sell your NASPAS if you had to.
Now's not the time to swap from tech into banks. Now's possibly the time to swap from banks into tech. And the time to swap from tech into banks was many months ago.
Okay. Then there's a question on Nampac, which came out of the trading update today, and the market did all of nothing in reaction. And the question is, could you kindly ask the panelists their thoughts on Nampac? They released a good trading statement today, but the share seems way too cheap. Any reasons or thoughts on this? Is it because of the debt? I was going to suggest that even though earnings are growing, I think the increase was quite...
It was 140 or something.
Yeah, it was big. I can't find it. I can't... between 88% and 100%, 107% for the earnings per share. Is it because the debt and the fear that they might have to go to the market to raise cash that is keeping a lid on the share price?
I'm not sure. I thought the last set of results that they had, things were improving, particularly on the canning side as people came out of lockdown and started to spend. So I'm a little shaken by why the market didn't respond. You know, just, okay, what do you expect from the company? This was only a trading statement. So we didn't get into the results, you know, to the deep set of results. But, I mean, they've been trading okay up to now. They haven't been a great favorite simply because of the debt and because of what worries there. But certainly the trend is looking impressive. And they were quite optimistic in their forecast. So I don't know.
Wayne, have you had a look at this? Anne Crotty wrote a pretty nice piece for us a couple of weeks ago. And one of the arguments was that because they've had a better trading performance, they've actually snookered themselves, and it's actually through no fault of their own. You know, they had to have working capital. I think there was pressure on their working capital because there was demand for their products, which has pushed them into a worse financial situation than they were in before because of good trading.
Because of the good trading, But that just means you short the capital and you've got to get it. Because if you're trading well and you need capital to carry more debtors and more stock, you will get capital. I mean, if you're trading well, you will get it. But, I mean, David and I are old enough to remember when Nampac was a proper blue chip. proper blue chip company. Couldn't go too far wrong with Nampac in the 90s. I mean, the share price is down 85% in the last 5 years. And this is the first trading statement they've come up with where there's no funnies, where there's no provision for this and that and no, you know, extraordinary and no closed business and discontinued operations. And they've had a torrid time. But, you know, on these type of earnings, you're buying at 3-4 PE. If you're the deep value investor and you got a bit of money that you wouldn't you know, that you don't particularly need. It's option money.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's wait for the results and see, because maybe there is more clarity there on what the debt situation is, because maybe that is what's keeping everyone at bay. And then there's a question on transaction capital, which also came out with the results today. Interim results that seemed marvelous. Well, pretty marvelous. Headline earnings up 14%. The question is it a good investment for the medium term?
Yes.
Simply, yeah.
Fantastic company. It's a good business. They're well diversified. Their debt collection is a world leading business. The taxi side of it, they've got well under control. And We Buy Cars was a fantastic acquisition. So yeah, buy it and yeah, long term even.
I don't know why the market was. I say there was some disappointment, but I think it more relates to the commuters, you know, to the taxi business, which was slower than perhaps the market was expecting. I don't say the shares went down, but it's taking, as they admitted in the results, it's taking time for commuters to get back to work. You know, the economy hasn't actually been booming, and naturally a lot of unemployment and costs are probably going to hit them as well. Workers need to commute. So I don't know what choice they'll have, what choice commuters will have.
Exactly. And you don't have the choice of the railway network, because that has been definitively destroyed in the past 2 years. Is transaction capital, because it did have the shares rallied 1.3% today. They came off from their highs, but that, you know, everything got clobbered in the last couple of weeks. Is transaction capital possibly sensitive to a period of sustained higher inflation in terms of fuel prices? Could this, you know, make things difficult for them and for their customers? In other words, the taxi owners.
Yeah, look, this high fuel price is very, very difficult, because it puts pressure on low earners. You know, when you come to your wage negotiation and you get inflation, the low earners should get inflation, double inflation, because the cost of transportation has just, I mean, gone through the roof. You go fill up your car now, it costs you 1,800 rand to fill up your tank. And it's only going up. Yeah, it does put pressure on the business, but, you know, people need to work and they make a plan, and the taxis can actually transfer that cost on.
Yeah, okay. There is now a question on... we were also talking about banking shares, and Wayne, you were saying that the time to buy banking shares and sell out of tech has passed us. In fact, the reverse should probably be true. One of our viewers has said, tomorrow is interest raising day for the South African Reserve Bank, either between 0.25 or 0.75%. I don't know if 0.75% is going to happen. World markets coming down a lot. Are bank stocks a safe bet to invest? You think not?
Relative, you must remember shares will fall. And I know this is a stupid statement. Shares will fall and you'd swear the world's coming to an end until the day they stop falling. You know, so while they're falling, banks are a safer bet. They will fall less, but they're not going up. In a bear market, very little goes up. So then the next move we should all be making is out of the defensives, the retailers, the banks, into the shares that have been clobbered, which is the tech shares and maybe the mining shares, and out of cash into shares. That's the next move that we should all be making. It's too late to take a defensive stance now. Into this bear market.
Having said that, I think it was John Authors who writes for Bloomberg, who writes these fantastic newsletters, which are really worth one's time in the morning. And he said, be very careful the allure of the bear market dip, you get sucked,
by the dip.
What seems a rally within the bear market that sort of lures you in. You think, okay, you know, we've reached the end of the selling, right?
We're not at the end yet, but we've experienced a substantial portion of the bear market, because this time around it is different, and I know that's the most dangerous words. There's no debt bubble to burst, so the economic impact of this period of rising interest rates will be far less severe than what we've seen previously. So all we've got to really worry about is not per se a recession or stagflation. I think that's being way over pessimistic. It's just the rating of the market. And the ratings come down quite a bit.
I think the media and I, not only the media are you know, are pushing this don't buy the dip and beware of the, you know, the bear market. There's more to come. So you're getting all this barrage of negative news. You can't pick up one commentary from any of the major institutions. I'm talking the asset managers, that is not bearish. So there's absolutely nothing to encourage you to go in at the moment. The only thing that's encouraging are the numbers that are coming out. But even there, they're warning, oh, no, this is last year's. You know, wait till next year when inflation hits you and when the recession hits us. You know, those results are going to be lower. So I think there's fear-mongering at the moment. But I'm with Wayne. You know, if we're two-thirds through the bear market, at least we can see the end of the tunnel. You know, if you're two-thirds through a tunnel, you'll be able to see a bit of light. And I agree that the next move is to go into the market in the shares that we've been talking about. But you know, it doesn't mean you have to do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, we can wait.
Okay, but just maybe to play devil's advocate, if you looked at the trading, was it a trading update from Rhodes Food Group? And I mean, I don't know what happened there. Why did the share price collapse 19%? Because it didn't seem to be that catastrophic. But what they did say was, significant cost inflation has been experienced in cans, raw materials such as meat, fats, oils, and logistics, in particular international freight costs, and the group has been unable to recover the full extent of these input cost increases, which has adversely impacted the operating profit margin of the regional segment. Is this not going to be what many companies are going to start coming out with, and
just
maybe we haven't actually priced it in? I mean, you know, not to be hysterical at anything, or do you think it is already priced in?
Look, cost, you know, the difference in America and South Africa, and that's also why the inflation's higher, is that a lot of the manufacturers and retailers can pass on the cost increases because there is demand. In South Africa, you cannot pass on the cost increases. So you just got to take it on the chin and your margin's going to go down. Yeah, you know, but inflation's not with us forever. People think it is. It's actually not. When you look statistically, the oil price, the food prices, they're well off their year-on-year peaks. Inflation will fall.
In Walmart and Target were absolutely hammered in the United States because of warning that their margins will be crimped because of inflation, you know, because they can't pass it on, and also probably demand will come down. But they weren't bad results, you know. They weren't dramatic results. The market just said, oh, my God, you know, 20% down. Why Rhodes Food came down, I have no idea. Unless there was a presentation at lunchtime and CEO said something there that shocked the crowd. But, I mean, 20% is quite is nonsensical on those numbers. Because, I mean, they were superb numbers.
This is a good company.
So further to this subject, there's a question that asks, I'm thinking with increasing fuel prices and the rising inflationary environment, it might be a good idea to invest in farming commodities or retailers like ShopRite or Pick and Pay. Could the panel please share their views? Would you invest in farming commodities or...
I've never liked pure agricultural businesses. It's too volatile. You can't call it. It's notoriously volatile. Fishing industry... I don't like primary food producers. It's very hard to get. It's hard enough to get mining companies right. It's even harder to get the food companies right.
Yeah, either the fuel prices have gone up, or you can't find the fish. Otherwise, there's a drought, or otherwise there are floods. You know, so it's ongoing. It's a very, very difficult. Chickens as well. You know, so avoid anything that clucks and kind of tries to fly, and all grows in the ground. I think just be very, very careful. You know, ShopRite and Pick and Pay will probably be able to pass it on, but I think it's going to be difficult. I think they're going to have to carry a lot of the increased costs because the demand, what you will find is they can raise prices, but I think demand will start to fall. And if you look to Pick and Pay, they want to go down the scale, down to Boxer. You know, their whole policy now is directed at at that area of the market, which I don't know, you know, it's lower margins and higher values, but that's where they feel they're going to make profits. But it's a lot tougher down there than selling Woolworths grapes or apples or the products that they do, you know.
Yeah, I, actually, just on that, Pick and Pay. Mm. So Pick and Pay initially yesterday, I was watching the. Mm. I mean, the share price was up 3% on the back. It seemed to me the results, and then they had that presentation on the strategy and what they're doing with Boxer and the fact that they've got Pick and Play Red and Blue streamlining the business that they're very excited about. And then today, and then the share sort of dribbled back. And today they were down 3.5%. What's going on there? Was it kind of a delayed reaction, or were they caught up in a sort of a generalized
sell-off.
Retail sell-off today?
It's very typical of a little bit of uncertainty in the market. You can take Netflix comes up with disappointing subscriber numbers, share down 30%. We spoke about Walmart. Mm. You know, these massive share price movements on quite frankly, very little news things is just unfortunately symptomatic of a very, very uncertain market. So you're going to see share price movements mainly down, but also up in certain circumstances. The volatility is high. Mm. It's an uncertain market.
Yeah. Okay, what about the property market? And the question is, with some consolidation in their London property portfolio, Property Midcap Sirius has resulted in 100% growth over the last 3 years and good recovery over the last year as well. Some analysts are now proclaiming visions of early shoots in the growth story and reflection upon the sector, and sector would be highly valued. I must say, I don't really think of Sirius and their London property portfolio, but more of their German business parks. But they have done very well. Yeah. And any thoughts there?
Look, the property, if you grow in your distribution double digit, it's difficult to beat that. It's very good.
I think, but broadly, if you looked at the inflation numbers and the warnings that are now coming out of the UK and the warnings that are coming out of Europe, one's got to be careful. You know, this is, remember, these are quasi-bonds. Property companies and REITs and that. If rates go up, then of course it's going to affect the returns because you've got to compete with those returns. So in a rising interest rate environment, I think just be a little bit careful. Property companies are well run. I've got no problem with any of our businesses here. All of them seem to be well run, but you're fighting a market. You know, you're fighting a yield market. And the same thing applies to dividend yield companies, you know, where the banks, if rates start to go up here quite highly, then of course they're going to affect the returns that you expect out of dividends and out of property trusts.
Yeah.
So it does affect them. It will affect the share prices, not necessarily the quality of the company, but the valuations that you're going to put on them.
Yeah. And you saw the UK inflation being 9%. So 9%, don't feel bad about our 5.9% here in South Africa, or at least for now. There is a question on Syntova. Is it too late to get into them? They came out with, you know, cracker results. This was one of my little share picks for your challenge, David, this year, and I'm very happy I picked it. Too late to buy it, or do you think on the basis of it, and excuse me, what they said was, so they've got cash, they're an asset-light business, and they are not paying a dividend because they're reinvesting it in the business. That is a confident company, I would imagine. And do you then, as a potential shareholder, look at that and think, okay, I like that?
What they're saying is, we can do better with the money than you can.
Yeah.
And therefore we keep it, which is good enough, as long as they've got the acquisitions or expansion to go into, then it makes a lot of sense to keep the money back and not pay a dividend. Most of the tech companies are that way. Warren Buffett's that way. He says, I can do better than you can, therefore I'm keeping the money. I'm not going to pay out dividends and that. So, and judging from their record, you know, you can't support them.
Wayne, having said that, at R7.25, I mean, I think they're now at a peak, over the last 3 years. Do you think it's too expensive, or do you think actually on the basis of the kind of earnings that they're producing that they are worth backing?
Yes, you know, look, if you are fortunate enough to have been in the share for a while, take some profits, you know. You've got to be cautious of massive growth companies. They can acquire too much. We've seen many, many growth companies, massive acquisitions, doing so well, and all of a sudden the wheels totally and utterly fall off. And ultimately, and I know David doesn't always agree with me on this, But ultimately, you want dividends from a company.
Yeah.
You, not them keeping it. You want the divvy. Okay. Ultimately, you in this game for dividends.
Okay. Very last question. So, Wayne, we know your stock pick this evening is NASPAS Prosus, given the discount and notwithstanding the Tencent results. David, in 30 seconds, do you have a stock pick or are you...
I saw Home Depot's results that came out. And I know the markets marked them down on that, but really good results. And I think that in this market with that, buy the trusted brands. You know, buy those companies that you can trust. They've got a strong record of earnings growth. And I still think in the US, you're going to see housing growth in that, despite the fact that housing prices are up. So anyway, the share price is down. Buy them at these levels.
Yeah. Well, I mean, down. It's practically halved. So it certainly seems a better bet now than $420. Well, whatever. David, Wayne, we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us this evening. David Shapiro is from Zassman Securities. Wayne McCurry is from F&B Wealth and Investments. And we'll be back with Stockwatch tomorrow night. Same time, same place. Have a good evening.